Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
God, we thank you that we get to step into your presence tonight. We ask you that you would have your way in these next few minutes. Would you breathe faith into every life, empower your church? We believe, oh God, that what is happening in this auditorium truly could change the lives of thousands of people in this community. We thank you for C3, and we're asking you, let the presence of the Holy Spirit fall upon this church over this next page. We thank you, Lord, for this incredible facility. Let it not just be full of people, but full of your presence. Lord, let miracles happen here. Let lives be revolutionized, generations changed and altered, freedom come to thousands. We thank you, Lord, in advance for all that you're about to do, not only here in this service tonight, but in this building, in this facility, and in your church, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shout it, amen, amen, amen. Slap a high five for the person next to you and say, get ready, get ready, get ready. You can grab a seat. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for the worship team. Wow. Well, I've just got to begin by saying how incredibly honored I am to be here at C3 San Diego in the South Campus. My gosh, how amazing is this facility, guys? You know, the Bible says in the Ten Commandments that we should not covet. I'm not sure it's good for my faith to be here in this building because it makes me just covet this incredible facility. And what an amazing building. In fact, I'm sure I'm not coveting, but I am certainly inspired. I'm certainly reaching for greater things. Are you not feeling just tremendously blessed? I mean, we roll up here. We've got a beautiful car park straight outside, roll into a facility out there, a foyer, lovely cafe. Man, if you're a parent here, your kids must be just like saying, take me in the morning, take me at night. Let me stay for every service. Can we go midweek? I mean, it is just amazing. This place is incredible. And I'm honestly so inspired to be here. Got to just say how much I love your pastors, Pastor Jürgen and Leanne, two of my favorite people in all the world. We have been friends in ministry for 20 years. When I started as a youth pastor, they were also spending a few years in Auckland, New Zealand. Many people don't know that about them, but you know, all great things in life have to spend a few years in New Zealand. And if you're wondering why they're so anointed, it's because the Lord allowed them for a short period of the time to... No, I'm just joking, but they were youth pastors at the same time as Jillian and I in Auckland. We were inspired by them. Jürgen was already youth pastoring, taught me so much about how to run a youth group. I knew literally nothing. And we've been friends ever since. And to see what God has done through their lives is truly amazing, is it not? I mean, honestly, we are so inspired by Pastor Jürgen and Leanne because they have continued to take bold and courageous steps of faith. They believe in people. They believe in the church. Everywhere you go in C3 San Diego, this is my third campus that I've been in this weekend, and you see new leaders emerging, people coming to higher levels, a sense of dignity, people really reaching, ministries emerging. I mean, we had up here tonight father and daughter leading us in worship. How cool is that? How cool is that? I mean, honestly, that is just so inspiring, and it would not have happened. Wasn't Cherish Conference amazing? I enjoyed it, and I'm a guy, you know. We had a great time. We had a great time. My wife was there, an amazing time, and I just want to honor your pastors. Can we honor them, Pastor Jürgen and Leanne, two of the greatest leaders in our generation, raised up by God, believing for great things, taking this church into an amazing future. They love each other. They brag on you all over the world. Your church has a voice literally to the nations of the world. I'm telling you, it is an amazing thing to be here. I really am so blessed. If you have a Bible, we're going to go to the book of John, just because that's a great name. You know, God has favorites. He called four books in the Bible John. Samuel got two, Peter got two, Timothy got two, but John got four. I'm just saying, it seems to be a theme with God. Have you ever been, John chapter 17. Have you ever been on a long road trip? Ever found yourself on a long road trip? Can I get a little wave out there? I mean, I am a New Zealander, and for us, one of our national things that we do is when we go on holiday, we go on a road trip. And I'm sure if you're a parent out there, you can empathize that a road trip with your kids can either be the best or the worst of times. You have your best conversations with your kids on a road trip, and you're most likely to lose your salvation and parental credibility on a road trip. But even if you're a teenager out there tonight, I'm sure that you can empathize with the highs and the lows of experiencing a road trip together. Can I get a little wave? The truth is, my friends, that when you go on a road trip, the first thing that happens is a road trip has to begin at an ungodly hour of the morning. You have to be up before the Lord. You have to be up before the angels in heaven and before the sun. Everything then has to be loaded into a vehicle. In my house, nothing gets loaded into a vehicle until everything going on the trip is in the garage. If it's not in the garage, it does not go in the car. I learned this because I've been married to my wife for 20 years and she has the gift of packing heavy. Any husbands know what I'm talking about? My wife goes away for one night and her suitcase is this big. And then we take it to the airport and they won't check it because it's overweight. I'm like, how can you have that much luggage for one night? Surely all you need is jocks and socks when you're a guy. But here she is with a massive suitcase for one night. So when we go away on our road trips, everything has to be in the garage before it goes in the vehicle. This is also important because her father never had a rule about putting things in containers when we go on trips. So she thinks it's cool just to roll up Drew with packets of shoes, board games, kitchen appliances. I'm not making this stuff up. Hey, one time the kitchen sink. She's just like, we just got to take us all this stuff on the road trip. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, man, then I play my annual game of Tetris, you know, get everything loaded there into the vehicle, under every seat, in between the seats, around every head and the foot of it, everything. Every little nook and cranny is filled with a piece of luggage. Do you know what I'm talking about? And then, of course, now the sun is dawning and we get into this vehicle and we get to finally leave. As we're leaving the house and we're driving down the street, everything is wonderful. The trip begins in optimism. We're going on holiday. The destination is going to be wonderful. There's a sandy beach ahead of us. By the way, why do you go on holiday in San Diego? Where do you go? Where is north? Where is better from here? I mean, this is as good as it gets, people. I'm telling you the truth. You're going to get to heaven and you're going to look forward towards the throne of God and see me way up the front there. And you're going to say, why is John so close to the throne when we're stuck all the way back here? And Gabriel the archangel is going to say, well, you had your reward while you were on earth. You lived in San Diego. That is your reward. I don't know if you know, but you're spending eternity right now. In New Zealand, where we have to drive to find a place like this, we get in the car, everybody's optimistic, the journey begins with enthusiasm, we're all loving it, we've got fresh songs on the playlist, parents are involved in conversations, kids are happy, everything is wonderful. Are you with me so far? But then what happens next? The journey continues. As the journey continues, the hours roll by, and with every hour comes a noticeable decline in attitude and optimism. After 2 hours, there's a couple of niggles. After 3 hours, people are starting to get titchy. After 4 hours, people start to notice new things. For instance, Charles, they notice lines. Have you noticed that? you're getting that vehicle on the road trip, and after a while, you begin to notice, this is my seat. Are you with me? You can have what you want on your seat, but do not cross, anybody with me? Come on, yeah. Do not cross, this is my seat. You can take your handbag, you can take your carry-on case, you can take your coffee machine for all you want, but you keep it out of my seat. People will become territorial about their seat. They will defend their seat. They will poke eyes out for their seat. Are you with me tonight? And then we notice other things like music becomes a territorial war, you know? We were all happy, any song, everybody's happy. After 4 hours in that vehicle, people are like, well, I want to listen to Coldplay. Well, I want to listen to Hillsong United. And you're like, no, I want to listen to Coldplay. And they're like, well, I want the presence of God. And then somebody in the car is saying, you want to go into the presence of God? I'm going to send you into the presence of God. You're going there right now. Come on, are you with me? And as a dad, often you start that journey thinking holiday ahead, work is behind me, people I love are with me, this is going to be wonderful. And after about 4 hours into that journey, you find yourself, not with a lot of Christianity in your voice, turning to your children and saying, guys, can we all just get along? Could we all just get along? And I don't know what it is, friends, but I found with journeys, people start to deteriorate. And I think that it's so important for us to consider this thought that we all just need to get along. Have you ever stopped to think about what it must have been like to be Jesus and to have the disciples and to take them on that amazing 3-year journey? I mean, Jesus had 3 years of ministry, guys, 3 years to change the world. During those 3 years, he went out there and he invited people to join him on his journey. Walked up to men and women and said, come follow me and I will make you. Listen, if you want your life to radically change, become a follower of Jesus. If you came to the service tonight and you're not currently a follower of Jesus, then the grand invitation of God to each and every one of the people that he created was to become one of his followers. You're not made by your independence or by your freedoms. You are made by your ability to follow after the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the servant of God is the most free of all. If you believe that, give me a little amen in this place. Yeah, come on, why don't we take a break and just praise our great God and Creator, our King and our Lord. Mr. Soundman, who's making my voice sound so fantastic, is there any chance you'd give me a little bit more monitors? I would love that. Thank you so much. I just love the sound of my own voice. I listen to my own podcast just to encourage myself. That's not true at all. But the truth is, guys, you know, Jesus gathered those men. They started to follow after him. They began that incredible journey. And can you imagine what it must have been like to be one of those disciples or to be Jesus and be part of that incredible 3-year journey? They traveled all of Israel. They saw sights they'd never seen. Jesus was amazing. He gave teenage boys who'd never been to Bible college a job to do. He said, you can actually go out, you can preach, you can minister. Hey, I don't know if you believe in yourself, but I want you to know God believes in you. Even before we ever thought we were qualified, God had already called us. Aren't you grateful for that? He's not looking at your degree or your pedigree or your background. He's looking at the fact that God made you as in his image, and there is potential and calling on the inside of each and every one of us. Come on, why don't we praise him that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Woo! You are the best crowd I've seen, I'm telling you. It's true what they say. The South Campus is the place to be. I'm telling you. It's like you've all been photoshopped, like somebody put you through some kind of, you're so beautiful here tonight. Don't stop. That's what Emma was yelling from the front row. I speak the truth. What was I before I distracted myself with your beauty? He gave 14-year-old kids, 18-year-old men a job to do. Man, they saw miracles. They saw people's lives radically changed. They got to be part of Jesus' most intimate conversations. Have you thought about that? I mean, literally one time they're around a campfire and there's a guy who thought his name meant Simon. Simon means a reed. He thought he was a loser. And God jumped into his life and said, you are not Simon. You're not a reed. You're not a vacillating, inconsistent, and impetuous person. No, I'll tell you who you are. You are Peter. You're a rock. Man, you're consistent, dependable, reliable. The very gates of hell are not going to prevail against you. You're a mighty man of God, and God has got your back. If you believe that, praise Him in this place. Come on. They got to hear Him pray to the Father. They got to hear Him. They got to be there when Moses and Elijah turned up on the Mount of Transfiguration. They got to be in rooms when dead people were raised to life again. They saw the lame walk. They saw the dead come out of their tombs. They watched blind people receive their sight. They heard the most life-changing teaching ever to be given on the face of this planet. Heard the Beatitudes live. Hello. I mean, they walked the most amazing journey with Jesus. It must have been incredible. But as their journey continued, we start to find that they frustrated Jesus. I mean, when you read the story, guys, you start to realize that it's all glossy in the first chapters of the Gospels. But read a little bit further. We start to realize that these guys one day had a crowd of 5,000 people in need of lunch. And they were bored with them. They wanted to send them away like a puppy wants to give back, like a child wants to give the puppy back. They're literally one day in an environment where the Samaritans will not give them lunch, and for their sin, they want to call down fire from heaven on a Samaritan village and destroy every man, woman, and child because they won't give them a lunchbox. I mean, these disciples were wonderful, but they were also very impetuous. They frustrated Jesus. They became competitive with one another. They looked for the inside edge on one another. They argued amongst themselves who was the greatest. And if you read the Bibles carefully, you'll discover that just like on your road trip, everybody goes down. It seems like in the ministry of Jesus, that the closer they got to the time when Jesus was going to go back to heaven, that their behavior went down and down as well. We've got disciples that are jockeying for position, asking Jesus, who is the greatest? And Jesus has to get that kid and say, he's the greatest. You guys have got to get with the program. We've got these incredible stories where they're fighting amongst themselves, where two brothers, I love this, two brothers who are going to be apostles in the early church send their mother to ask Jesus for a throne on either side of him when he gets to heaven. I mean, is that not crazy? Pastor Jürgen, if you've ever thought you've had a leadership challenge, think about these guys. I mean, they were ambitious. They were out of control. I mean, in so many moments, we must have found Jesus just thinking to himself, like a dad on a road trip, can't we all just get along? Say it, can't we all just get along? As the days approached for Jesus finally to go up to heaven, the Bible tells us that the last town they went through was a town by the name of Jericho. It's the last stop before Jerusalem. As they got close to the town of Jericho, there on the side of the road is a man by the name of Zacchaeus. And Jesus, blind Bartimaeus. And Jesus takes a moment to heal a blind man. He's got a moment for any person in need of a miracle. Aren't you grateful that God's not too busy, that he can always hear you when you need him? He's always there for you no matter what's going on. He's never looking at the clock. God has always got a moment for a person in need of a miracle. If you believe that, give him another praise. Come on. The Bible then says he enters that town where there's a tax collector up a tree. He gave a moment to a man needing a miracle. He gave hours to a leader who had the opportunity to change his town and his city. And I want you to know, leaders, business leaders, people out there in the service tonight, that God's got enough time for you. Don't think that because you don't have pressing financial needs that God ain't got time for you, or that you're too unholy to get time with Jesus. God loves you. He wants you to spend some time with him. They left that town, Jericho, and they begin that amazing journey as they approach the city of Jerusalem. This is the moment when people grab their cloaks and palm branches, put them on the road, when they began to shout Hosanna to the Son of David. This is the moment when everything Jesus has been doing is reaching an amazing point of climax. And as they're walking down that road, Jesus grabs two of his disciples. Their names are Peter and John. Now, if you're going to pick two disciples that were at the very top of the 12, I mean, I know Jesus said you're supposed to be the least, but if we're going to pick the two most significant, I don't know about you, I think it's unanimous. We're going with Peter and John, right? And the Bible tells us that Jesus says to Peter and John, you guys are to leave the procession. I want you to go ahead of us to the town of Bethany, and you're going to find there a man carrying a water jug. Follow the man carrying the water jug. When you get to his house, you're going to ask him for the large room. And in that room, we're going to eat dinner, and you guys are going to be the hospitality team. Now, when I read that, there were several things I noticed straight away. Listen, can I teach you for a second? I know we're preaching, but let's just teach for a second. The first thing that I notice is that the man who got to have Jesus eat the Last Supper in his home, the man who got fellowship with Jesus in his home, was the man carrying the water jug. Notice that in their time, it was women who carried the water jugs. Yet this man was willing to do a task that most men wouldn't do. If man, if you're in this room tonight and you're willing to serve where others wouldn't, you're willing to go lower than others are prepared to go. I want you to know those who lower themselves will be exalted. Those who humble themselves will be brought up. I want Jesus in my house. How about you? I want Jesus in my house. And if we want Jesus in our home, then my friends, we've got to be willing to go low. The second thing that I notice is that those who were going to be the two most significant were chosen for the job that there was the most servile and in the background. While the grand entrance took place, while the crowd shouted Hosanna, two figures were missing in that moment. And I found in church life that when God wants to use you, he will often first position you in a place where no one else can see you. I found that when God prepares to work in a life, he prepares in private to reveal in public. Are you with me this evening? I found that when God gets ready to bless a person and to move through their life, he doesn't often put them in a position of prominence where they're part of the crowd shouting Hosanna. He puts them in the kitchen. He puts them in the car park. He puts them in background environments, positions of obscurity, because he prepares in private and he reveals in public. Are you hearing me tonight? Is this helping anybody? And maybe it is this evening that as we're moving forward in the great journey of Jesus, that God comes and shoulder taps you, my friend, and says it's time for you to go from the pew to the car park. It's time for you to go from a public position to a private location, because maybe God is getting ready. No one wants to amen that one, but God is getting ready to do something great in your life. Come on, anybody out there know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I like you guys. I'm going to give my voice everything it has left. Oh, my friends. The Bible tells us that these two were sent there and they prepared this meal. Jesus enters Jerusalem, a whole city is stirred. A whole city is stirred. I want to pastor a church that has the kind of influence like C3 San Diego does, where cities get stirred, where campuses are launched, where beast mode goes to east mode, where we're building buildings, where we're taking ground for Jesus. Come on, anybody believe that C3 San Diego can become the talk of everybody's lips in this fine city? If you believe it, give the Lord one great shout of praise. Come on, South. Oh, I'm telling you, just the other day, I walked into a cafe. I was with my children. Now, when I'm here, everybody immediately knows that I'm not from here. They can tell by my accent. And they said to my children, where are you guys from? My daughter said, we're from New Zealand. The lady then said, what are you doing here? My daughter said, we're here because my mom and dad are speaking at a church. She said, what's the name of the church? My daughter said, it's C3 San Diego. This waitress who does not go to church, this is what she said. She said, I've heard of that church. Okay? She said, this is her words. This is verbatim, or pretty close, like 95% verbatim. I mean, I can't get every word, right? But she said, That's that church that is rapidly growing and starting new campuses all over the city of San Diego. Anybody want to stir a city for Jesus? Anybody want to be part of making Jesus famous in our generation? People shouldn't know of the church as old buildings that were once relevant. They should know of new buildings, new campuses, another generation of leaders, young people rising. Hey, C3, they should know about what God's doing here. Somebody shout aloud amen in this place. Oh, man. The whole city was stirred. Then finally the dust settles, the crowd disperses, and Jesus goes to the town of Bethany to a home with a room to his disciples. And this is where we jump into our story. They walk into that room. And as they walk in, there is no ministry team. You understand Jesus had an infrastructure. He had a catering team, a hospitality team. The disciples were the advanced ministry team. But Jesus said, no, Last Supper, just you and me. That's it, the 12 and me. Nobody is there to cater. Nobody's there to wait on anybody. The crowds have dispersed. There's no fanfare, no glee club. Nobody's asking for a selfie. Everybody's gone. It's just Jesus and the 12. And in this amazing moment, we now have an awkward position because only days before this, a woman was so willing to help with the base tasks that were required that day that she washed Jesus' feet with her tears, anointed him with a bottle of perfume worth $46,000, and then used her hair to dry out his feet. And now there's no foot washer. We've got a problem because there is a base task needed to be done. And we've got a bunch of disciples who are at the end of their road trip who are trying to jockey for who is the greatest. They're thinking, who among us is the greatest? They're not asking themselves, who is willing to be the least? So in this amazing moment, we've now got a conflict as one after another gets to the threshold of the door, no one willing to take that. They're all playing chicken with one another. And then in John 13, verse 3, by the way, you want to be on staff on my church, you have to memorize John chapter 13, verses 3 and 4, where the Bible tells us about Jesus, that he knew that he came from the Father. He knew that he was returning to the Father. And he knew that the Father had placed all things under his feet. So, what's the Bible saying? The Bible is saying Jesus knew where he came from. Jesus knew where he was going. And Jesus knew what God had called him to do. So he got up from the table, took off his outer garments, put a towel around his waist, and he bent down and he washed the disciples' feet. Application, are you ready? Are you ready? If you know where you've come from, if you know where you're going, if you know what God's called you to do, then what you do will never define you. People that are willing to serve are those who know who they are in Jesus. People who are willing to do anything. Pastor, I'll do the car park. I'll be on the front door. I'll be in the crèche during church. That's not going to prevent my calling. You can put me in the background, but God's still got a call over my life. Come on, anybody with me tonight? He washed all of the disciples' feet. He gets to the end of it. They enjoy that meal. Now listen, you got to catch this. Every other gospel, apart from John, jumps from the Last Supper to the Garden of Gethsemane. But in John's gospel, we get all of the most intimate moments of Jesus. Why? Because John was always there. And in this amazing book, we get one prayer. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we get Jesus praying for himself. But my friends, I believe that in many biblical characters, there is one defining prayer. For Joshua, that would have to be when he said, let the sun stand still. For Elijah, it would have to be when he said, let fire fall from heaven. Here we've got Jesus about to go to heaven. Understand that this very night, Jesus gets arrested. Understand that this very next day, Jesus is crucified on a cross. That 3 days later, heaven is split open. Resurrection power is available. The grave is empty and heaven is full. This is all happening right now. And as Jesus prepares to go to heaven and give his job, his church to these 12 men, he prays a prayer. And I believe in John 17, we find Jesus's defining prayer. Read it with me. My prayer, in verse 20, is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be, shout it, one, let's try it again, that all of them may be, that all of them may be, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be, hello, that they may be as we are, may they be brought, Jesus prayed, to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus, in his final prayer, in his penultimate moment, in the last time, did you know that Jesus, the Bible says, is still in heaven praying for us? He's not praying for himself. So he's not praying the Garden of Gethsemane prayers. He doesn't need any help. He's got all the victory in the world. But it just stands to reason that the last thing he prayed for you and me might be still the same thing that he's praying for us right now. And we discover that the last thing he prayed was simply paraphrased, could they all just get along? If they could all just get along, if they could all just get along, then the world would know that you sent me. If they could all just get along, then the world would realize that I am real. If they could all just get along, they could do something great in their generation. If they could all just get along, then San Diego would be saved. If they could all just get along, then the church would be built. If they could all just get along, then addictions would be broken and marriages would be healed and children would grow up in God's house. If they could all just get along, then the church would have no limits over its future. Come on, if you believe that, give me a little amen in this place. Friends, he said, could they all just get along? This is the theme of Jesus' teaching. He's saying, listen, church, if we're gonna do the most amazing things for God, then what's gonna make the difference between possible and impossible, between the glory of God touching our communities and nothing happening but a religious gathering in a hall on a Sunday, is going to be whether or not we can all just get along. I mean, this is all the way through the Bible, isn't it? And we've got in Psalm 133 an amazing promise that where there is unity, there the Lord commands the blessing. Where there is unity, there the Lord commands the blessing. How blessed it is when people dwell together in unity. There the Lord commands the blessing. If we want the blessing, if we want the power, do you understand that Jesus was literally saying, I'm about to go to heaven, power is about to fall. He said, I've given them your glory, God. It's a done deal. My blood, my life. What an amazing communion message tonight, by the way. Can we thank our brilliant man of God who shared that communion message? But because of the blood of Jesus, my friends, the glory has been made available to you and me. All power is available, but the Bible says when there's unity, the power is released. When you find power, when you find unity, my friends, there you find the power of God moving. Where you find unity, there you find God beginning to do the most amazing things. And where you find unity, there you find a community realizing that God is alive and real. See, if this was a drum, many Christians and many churches are like people who just pitter-patter on the edges. Pitter-patter on the edges. Oh, we've got our church experience. We can do something great. Now, I build churches. That's what I do. And Pastor Jürgen and we're the same in that respect. And when you build a church building, one thing you need is very thick walls on an auditorium. Do you know why? Not because of your singing. We can contain that. Just a wooden wall will do that. But when you get a bass resonance, do you know what happens? A bass resonance literally will break through concrete walls. It'll literally get out into the environment. And in most cities, if you get too much noise out there on the street, then people who don't like the church can shut you down. So when we build churches, we spend a lot of money making sure that what is in here can't get out there. Well, the devil doesn't want what is in here getting out there. Now, the Bible says that when people are brought together in perfect unity, then the world is going to have an impact. Because here's what happens with a drum. When you pitter-patter it on the edges, it makes a little nice, polite sound. But when you whack it in the middle, then it has a bass resonance that carries the sound, that breaks through obstacles, pulls down mindsets. The kind of church that declares Jesus is alive is not a little Christian gathering, but a group of people who made a decision to be servants of all, part of something greater, a people who are willing to get along. Come on, if you believe it, give the Lord one loud shout of praise all over this room right now. Oh, my friends, I believe that what God's looking for in our day and age is He's looking for a unified church. He's looking for people that will all just get along. When we turn up to church and we're just part of a service and then we walk out home, that's great, that's good for you, it might bless the kids. But when you say, hang on, I'm going to be part of a unified team. Do you know the Bible says about the church in 1 Corinthians 12 that we are the body of Christ and every part of the body has a role? That a hand shouldn't say to an eye that I don't need you, and an eye shouldn't say to a hand I don't need you, and a thumb doesn't get to say I'm more important than the liver or the spleen. In fact, the Bible says that we should give double honor to the parts of the church that serve in the most secret places. Because at the end of the day, I can live without my fingers, my hand, I can live without my arm, but take out my heart or my liver and my friend, it's over. And if we take out those who serve in churches in unseen environments, somebody's back there putting images on a screen. There are children's workers out there looking after our kids, people doing security in the car park. And the Bible says that you should give double honor to them to what you ever give to me. Come on, can we put our hands together for every person serving, making a difference? Come on. Can we all just get along? Can we all just get along? Oh, I'm about to finish, but let me first just tell you two things. Number one, in Genesis 11:6, God makes His third observation about people. Do you know what He said? He said, if as one people, first observation God ever made, it is good. Do you know that's the first thing God ever said over you? The second thing God ever said about us, the second observation, we're not good when we're alone. That's why you need a church and that's why you need a small group. If you're not part of a connect group, then my friend, God looks at you and He says, hey, you're good, but that's not good. Fix that problem tonight. The third thing that He said, is in Genesis 11:6, He said, if as one people speak in the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Oh, my friends, God literally said, if we've got unity, if we can all just get along, then we can drive as far as we want. We can reach for the stars. We can start new campuses, launch new services, change the world, be hope, be light, be life to people. If we can all just get along, along, along. You know, we get along when we have two things. You know what unity is? Number one, unity is a common vision. And number two, it's shared participation. That's what unity is. I believe in where we're going, and I'm playing a small role. We don't need a few people doing more. We need a lot of people doing it a bit. We need every thumb being a thumb. We need every liver being a liver. We need every foot being a foot. We need every eye being an eye. We need every person doing what God has called them to do. That, my friends, is the perfect church. Can I borrow you up here, Pastor Charles? If my body represents the vision of this church, then let me show you what unity can do. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to fall back. Pastor Charles is going to catch me. If he doesn't, it's going to be bad for both of us. We're both going to look bad, but he is a Marine. And so, you know, there's no way that he's ever going to drop me. No way he's ever going to drop me. But at the end of the day, we fall back. Now, Pastor Charles has got me, but let me tell you something. It's doing taking all of his muscle, probably, just to hold me. One man, Pastor Charles, Pastor Jurgen, one man with a vision is an intercessor. They've got a dream, but no capacity. That's what a church is like when the people talk about the church in the third person. That's a great church. I love your church. Pastor Charles, Pastor Jurgen, I love your church. You've got an intercessor. You've got a future potential, but you've got no present possibility for anything more. Now I need 8, 6 or 8 strong men. Come on, get up here, guys. Come on, give them a big clap. Come on, come on. Give them a big clap. Put a little bit more energy into it. Okay, I need you in 2 rows. Nice shoulder to shoulder. Okay, you ready, you ready, you ready, guys? You ready, you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Get nice and close. Don't blow this, because it's going to be bad for all of us if that happens. We'll probably have to put some report into the government. I am going to jump, and you brave men are going to catch me. Are you ready? All right. Are you ready? Are you ready? Church, are you ready? Okay. Oh! Oh! So now we got some bounce. We've got some capacity. We've got some ability. Do you know this church, C3? Listen. This church, C3, started because about 6 or 8 people gathered in a lounge room with a dream only 10 or 7 years ago and said, let's believe that San Diego can be one for Jesus. Now we're here today. When we got this group of people, we can move. Do a little bit of movement, guys. Yeah, look, we can move around. We got some potential. We can go places. We can go places. But it's taken everything they've got. Do you want to go back? Yeah. It's taken everything they've got just to do this week in and week out. It's not sustainable. Put me down on the stage. You guys can stay here. But you know what? Stay here. Stay here. Stay here. But if we get these amazing men, and then we say, who else is going to join? Who else is going to serve? Will you go to the car park? Will you work with the kids? Will you be on the door, sir, keep this place safe? Will you be on a sound desk? Will you run a connect group? Do you know all you need to do to be a leader in the church? You know all you need to do? Follow Jesus. If you're following Jesus, somebody can follow you. That's all discipleship. That's all leadership is. I'm following Jesus so you can follow me. I'm not perfect yet, but I'm following Jesus because I'm following Jesus. You can follow me. And my friends, as we start to gather people around a vision and they come out and say, I'm going to play a role, I can do something, vision can be carried on the shoulders of people and everybody, you just do a bit and you just do a bit and you just do a bit and you just do a bit. Is anybody willing to do a bit? If you are, give God some praise in this place tonight. If you're willing to do a bit. Because when everybody does a bit, without worrying, without posturing, without pretending, if we could all just get along, the destination God has for His church is truly amazing. I want to prophesy to you tonight, C3 San Diego. I literally woke up this morning, the Lord put this phrase in my heart. I've only preached this message once. I had to listen to my own podcast to preach it this morning. Had to rewrite the notes because I left them back in New Zealand. But I believe that what God's doing here at C3 San Diego, listen, I feel the power of God right now. This building is phenomenal. But I looked at another one that you're in the middle of buying this afternoon. And we're here declaring we're going beast mode in the east mode. We're taking ground. There is no limits, no ceiling. Does anybody believe we're on a wonderful journey that God is indeed leading? We're bold and courageous pastors that we can do something incredible. Anybody believe a new generation of San Diego people are going to find Jesus and the church will be built in our generation? Come on, if you believe it, stand to your feet and give God some praise in this place tonight. Come on, lift your voice for 10 seconds and just praise Him for 10 seconds of crazy praise. Come on, come on. We're going to reach our generation for Jesus. We're going to reach our generation for Jesus. And And I feel like the Lord just saying, could we all just get along? You do your bit together. It's a done deal. Jesus literally declared it. If there's complete unity, it's done. City will be saved. The limit's not God's power. It's our willingness to be the body of Christ. Come on, if you believe God's speaking tonight, give him some praise in this room this evening. Come on. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Just give me your attention, but it's two more minutes. I'm nearly done. All over the service, many people have come to this room tonight. And right now, you don't have your own personal relationship with Jesus. Firstly, let me tell you, you're in the right place. And we care about you here. This is not a church full of people who've got it all together. This is just a church full of people saying we're following Jesus. And if you'd hang with us, you can follow him too. But when any person decides to become a follower of Jesus in their life, three things are going to happen. Number one, every sin in your life will be forgiven. It's not up to your goodness, it's up to God's greatness. Because Jesus died, your sin will be forgiven. Number two, heaven will be your home. God did not make hell for you. He made heaven for you. He made hell only for the devil and his angels. And he desperately wants you to be in heaven. And he invites you to follow him so that the end step you walk is straight into the gates of heaven. The third thing that happens when you receive Jesus is that for every day that you remain on this planet, Jesus walks with you through everything life throws at you. God won't transport you out of difficult days, but my friend, there's nothing more amazing in all the world than to know that no matter what might come my way, that my Lord, my God, the creator of all the world, is walking with me through every event and pressure and trial of life. Anybody experience that? Know what I'm talking about tonight? If you're in the service this evening and you're saying, John, I don't know Jesus. I'm not right with God. I'm not a Christian. I once was a church person, but I know that Jesus is not at the center of my life. Or maybe you're here tonight saying I've got no idea whether I'm a Christian or not. I'm going to pray a prayer in about 10 seconds time. If you'd like to pray with me, I believe that tonight you can find Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. As we prepare to pray, every person please close their eyes and bow their heads in a moment of prayer. All over this meeting, many people are saying, John, you're talking to me. I don't know Jesus. I'm not right with God. I'm not a Christian. I've been a church person, but I know tonight that Jesus is not at the center of my life. I've got no idea whether I'm a Christian or not. If that's you, my friend, I'm going to ask you just to take one hand and to lift that hand up in the air. I'll see your hand, then you can put it back down. Once every hand is lifted, we're going to pray this prayer. I need Jesus, John. Lift it up right now. I'm not right with God. Lift that hand. I'm not a Christian. Lift it up. I once was a church person, but Jesus is not at the center of my life. Lift that hand up right now. All of the building, I'll see your hand, then we're going to pray this prayer together. If you need to lift your hand, do it right now, right now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Somebody else, thank you. Somebody else, I need Jesus tonight, John. Quick, 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 lift that hand all the way up in the air. Thank you there, wonderful, wonderful. Somebody else, lift it up. I need Jesus tonight, John. Another hand, wonderful. Somebody else, I need Jesus. I'm not right with God. Thank you. Somebody sitting down towards the back. God bless you, man. Somebody else, I need Jesus in my life. Lift that hand up, all the way up. Wave it round till I've acknowledged it. Yeah, I see you there. God bless you, man, in the middle. Somebody else, I need Jesus. Over the side, wonderful. You got three more seconds, quick. Your heart is beating. That's love calling you. The fear that you feel is only the devil trying to keep you in his power. Say no to the devil. Say yes to the God of love. Lift up that hand right now. God loves you. Lift it up. You got two more seconds. Two more seconds. Lift it, lift it, lift it. God bless you. Somebody else. I feel it. Yeah. God bless you, sir. So, God bless you. Anybody else? Quickly lift that hand up right now. I need Jesus in my life. Praise God. While every eye is bowed, while every head is bowed, while every eye is closed, let's say this prayer together. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. Say it out loud. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you. I need you in my life. I'm lost without you. I ask you, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sin. I thank you, Jesus. You love me. You accept me. You forgive me. Amen. Can we have a big clap for every person who just lifted their hand tonight?
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.